And here I was hoping Mark would forget about recording. That's okay, it goes along with the job. Every congregation where we have been has needed substitute teachers or preachers from time to time. And that's what I'm doing this morning. So you don't need to worry about listening to me again, real soon anyway. First time, I traveled to Columbus, Nebraska, and preached for 6 to 8 people there. And I've mentioned to some of you, halfway through the sermon, two ladies got up and left. It was quite disturbing for my first sermon. But everybody else stayed put, and they were listening to me, so I kept talking. Later, they told me those two ladies had to leave to get to work. But I still wish I would have known that ahead of time. But the meal and visiting afterwards was very well worth it. So, we learned over the years that it's best to keep a lesson topic ready or be thinking about one, you know, to keep it in one's back pocket, so to speak. I did not have one ready in Minot once. And Gracie, I think the Bulls had moved by that time, so they didn't have to endure that one. But Gracie sat through that one. We did a verse-by-verse look at Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. Luckily, chapter 3 was safe as we ran out of time. But I have a lesson in my back pocket, but this one is not it. It almost got used, but this material interested me, and I hope it'll be encouraging to you too. Most of us know stories about Moses. We've learned about his birth, the Nile River, the Pharaoh's family, the plagues, the Red Sea, Mount Sinai, wanderings in the wilderness, and his final resting place that no one knows where it is because God buried him. These are found in Exodus. But Moses is also talked about in Hebrews chapter 11 and the faith chapter. And in reading this chapter, we find that Moses is actually talked about the second most most amount of time behind Abraham in illustrating faith to the Hebrews and also to us. So if you want to, turn over in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be starting in verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We know from Exodus that Moses had the perks and pleasures of nobility since he was 3 months old. He was raised as Pharaoh's grandson. Adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. Stephen in Acts 7:23 said Moses was about 40 years old. But he had to make a choice that Hebrews talks about here. And there's an old saying that Yogi Berra allegedly said, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. But that never made any sense to me until I thought of a table fork lying on the road. And if I came across that kind of a table fork, I would pick it up and take it. You know, that finally made sense. But seriously, we all have choices to make in our lives. Do we make the right choice or the wrong choice? Do we go left or right? Do we go up or down? Moses made this choice by faith. Verse 1 in Hebrews 11 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So where did Moses get that faith? Where it says by faith. We say parents. And that's a very important part of our early lives. Last week, we happened to be looking at the church website where Amber and Eli attend. And we came across a picture of the babies class, where there's 5 or 6 babies sitting in this, you know, kidney-shaped table. And they were being taught, and everyone was looking at the camera. And wow, guess what? One of them was Lydia Grace, our granddaughter. She's going to be 7 months old tomorrow. So, Amber says that Lydia can hold a cutout of something in the song that they are singing. They pass out little, you know, pictures of whatever, and they learn so fast. Anyone else ever try reading a bedtime story to a two-year-old and just try skipping a page to go a little faster? No. They know the stories, and they want to hear all of it again and again. My Uncle Bill had a photographic memory. He remembered his first year of country school, being in first grade in Nebraska, in about 1928, 29, somewhere in there. He liked to turn in his book to a story the older kids were reading. You know, they had different levels in the same book. And he would follow along with the older kids. Well, the teacher asked him one day, noticed him doing that, and asked him if he'd like to read the story. So he stood up, and he held up his book, and he started reading that story. He remembers looking at her, and she was looking at him so funny, a puzzled look in her face. And she came up, and she took the book out of his hand, if I can do it here. She took the book out of his hand, turned it upside down, and handed it back to him. And she said, "That should work better now." That's when he learned. He just thought everyone was like him and had memorized the stories that he had heard before, but it wasn't the case. But when he matured, Moses took the things that he had learned as a child, and he knew which way to go. At this point in his life, at 40 years old, he couldn't compromise anymore. It had to be one way or the other. Life doesn't stand still. You know, if we try to procrastinate, that becomes a decision in itself. And like all decisions, this one that Moses made had two parts to it. A negative and a positive part. The negative part is that Moses refused his adopted family. Physics has a rule that actually applies here. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And in life, there are times that we have to say no in our lives. We have to make that choice. The positive part that Moses had is in this choice is in verse 25. He chose. Although it doesn't sound very positive at the first glance, the choosing is the positive part. God wanted him to choose, just like he lets us make our choices. Because at that point in his life, he knew all the facts, and he knew that it was better to be mistreated with the people of God than to have pleasure for a season, in verse 25. Sometimes we try to say no to both choices. End up getting run over and left behind. I've tried that a time or two, and that doesn't work, believe me. Even when we decide to become a Christian, that is saying no to our past life, but saying yes to the wonderful spiritual life with Jesus in the church. The rest of our lives and eternity are dependent on that choice to say yes and no at the same time. Look at Acts 3:19. This is Peter's second sermon to the Jews after he had healed this lame man. He said to the Jews in verse 19, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." He says first of all, he says to them, repent. Turn from your sins. Say no to those sins. And second, return to God. That's the yes part, the positive part. We've all heard of cheap grace. Turn to God and he forgives whatever we do. Well, turning to God isn't worth much without saying no to our past and repentance. Otherwise, we really don't love God and really haven't said a meaningful yes. to God. 800 years before this was written, Isaiah in chapter 59, 1 and 2 says that our sins have separated us from God. We can turn away from sin, and if we are really, really strong, maybe, just maybe, we can maybe stay away from sin for a period of time. But we still have that void in our hearts until we fill that void with God, the way God created us. Or if we don't do that, then the sins and demons come back even worse than before. Jesus said that one demon, if he finds our hearts empty, swept and clean, will come back with seven others, and it'll be worse than before. You see, we must fill that void with God. Moses had followed Pharaoh and royalty all his life. He had to decide whether to keep on that path or not. One thing parents don't have to teach kids is to be rebellious. We teach kids to say please and thank you. Yes, ma'am or sir, I'm sorry, I forgive you. But say no to some two-year-olds and there's a tantrum on the floor all of a sudden. I even tried that a few times until my mom poured a glass of water over it and left me lying on the floor soaking wet. That's what they tell me anyway. I don't remember it. Probably selective memory. that proves I do not have a photographic memory like Uncle Bill. We all make a choice not to follow sin and to follow Christ. They go together, those choices. But Satan doesn't quit trying to tempt us. As Christians, part of that choice is not to sin any longer. But sin can almost be like an addiction. That is why we turn to God for help and others in the church when we need it. I knew a farmer in Kansas that was telling me he was plowing around a field one day, and he decided to quit smoking. So he took out his cigarettes and he threw them in front of the plow, and they buried the cigarettes right out there in the field. He said every time he went past that spot, they plowed around in a circle. Every time he went past that spot, he looked at that spot. And the cravings got a little worse until he started praying for help and relief. And boy, did he learn how to pray that day. But it got better slowly. And 3 days later, his wife asked him if he was not feeling well, because she hadn't emptied one ashtray the whole time. Took her 3 days to realize it. And that is when it really got better, because he found out that she and he could both celebrate and hold each other up before God. See, we get stronger in God as we mature, and we learn that after each decision for God, it is better with our souls. Sometimes it's easy for me to bring a list to God of how good I am and what I don't do. And the list is usually external things that I don't do. And then when it's easy to fall back into anger, envy, or etc., it's much easier then. Peter says to return to God in repentance in Acts chapter 3. Look at Colossians 3:12. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And what wonderful spiritual clothes those are to put on. Don't you just feel so much better when we have those in our hearts? In Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, whatever is honorable, whatever is right. I doubled up on that one. Whatever is of good repute. If there is any excellence and if anything is worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. As we get older, we understand what a wonderful effect music can have on our souls. Research on the brain has showed that music is processed in a different part of the brain, and Lynn brought that out this morning. Our speech is in the left-hand side, our music is in our right-hand side. And that part of the brain is less affected by normal aging and memory disorders. You remember caroling at people's at the care homes in town or at people's houses? How people will mouth the words or sing along while we're singing. They're smiling and they're happy. Staff have noticed that residents tend to sleep better after singing and listening to encouraging music. They like to see children and smile at them while singing. One lady I heard said that when she grew up, her family picked up her grandmother before going to Bible class in church every Sunday. But most times, Grandma would sit with several other older ladies in the back. Sometimes, the little girl would sneak a look back during the songs, and she saw the ladies used no songbooks. They would hold hands, and they would look up slightly and sing so intently that tears would come down their cheeks. You ever sang a song like that? Grandma shared with her that they had lived through times that were talked about in those songs, and God became so close again to them during those times. I hope we can all worship God that way and more consistently as we live our lives. Think about Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You see, we are like standing stones for God. How many of us have ever stopped at one of these highway signs along the highway and read what is told about there at that spot, what an event or something that happened there in the past? People of the world see us as Christians and stop to see what's happened in our hearts because we have these things in our hearts. Then they read what God has done to us in our fruits of the Spirit, and they want to find out more. See, Moses made this choice back in Hebrews 11. Moses made this choice not because of the ill treatment that was going to happen, because he knew it would, but he was looking for the reward, for riches that are worth more than the treasures of Egypt. And boy, they had some treasures. And Moses lived right at that time when they had most of them. He lost some close friends from his past. I went to my 40-year high school reunion in 09. Out of 18 people in that small class, one had already died. And one looked close, very thin and weak. They all looked 40 years older, but I didn't think I did. But I had made a choice for Christ and left that life, learning about being a Christian at York College and then at Kearney. And everywhere we have been, I thank God there's always been Christians to look up to have for a mentor, to answer questions, and learn how to follow God better and better in our lives. Moses had a reward. Looking ahead in verse 27, it says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible, his reward. He followed him who is unseen. Jeremiah 12 asks a common question. Why are the wicked happy? And we will all face the same judge. But as Christians, we have an assurance that all will be well, because we say yes to God and no to the world. Just a few more scriptures I'd like us to consider. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Colossians 3:24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Jesus whom you serve. And then down in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28, by faith Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. And we know they didn't. Everybody else in Egypt was punished, but not the followers of God. Our reward is always from God, keeping His promises. God makes sure that we know what we need to know to make our yes-no decisions for Him. Do you have faith in Jesus? Do you want a greater faith? You see, these decisions for God and against Satan must be made to have eternal life. If you want help starting or restarting your decision for God, please come forward or make your wish known later. Let's stand and sing, "Jesus is Coming Soon."